from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, world listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first that lines. House member says government needs to add subsidy for farmers. The second senior official meeting of the island state discussed a joint solution to environmental problems. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. The government of Indonesia needs to increase subsidies for the farmers in the country as a way to revive the spirit of farming, especially among young people in rural areas. House Commission full member Endang Srikarti Handayani remarked in a release on Thursday, in order to increase agricultural yields, she agrees that the government needs to subsidize farmers. The Golkar Party politicians remark that the government must have a breakthrough so that those who are young can be excited again in building agricultural sector in their respective villages. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Agriculture has reportedly wanted an award for agricultural entrepreneurs to motivate young people in the country who want to become farmers. Agriculture Ministry Secretary General Sukur Iwantoro said at a ceremony of awarding the national level for agricultural exemplary recently that agricultural awards are expected to motivate agricultural sector as well as become an agricultural attraction for the younger generation. In 2018, as every year, the Ministry of Agriculture again gave national level awards to 27 exemplary people consisting of 3 outstanding farmers, 3 outstanding farmer groups, 3 outstanding economic institutions of farmers, 3 exemplary agricultural extension agents, and 3 halls of standing agricultural counseling. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, accompanied by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, will make a state visit to South Korea on September 10 to 11. During the visit, President Jokowi and South Korean President Moon Jae-in will discuss strengthening economic cooperation and signing a 6 memorandum of understanding between countries. The 6 memorandums of understanding include the fields of legislation, economy and trade, the development of human resources, maritime security and the environment. This was revealed by the Indonesian Foreign Ministry's Director of East Asia and Pacific, Edi Yusuf, in a media briefing held at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta on Thursday. The MOU will be signed in the field of legislation between Cabinet Secretary and the Ministry of Legislation of South Korea, then cooperation in the field of immigration. The third economic cooperation between the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs and MOTI is more likely to be a regular meeting at the level of the Coordinating Minister for the Economy with the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Energy of Korea. Then the fourth MOU will be a collaboration in the field of human resource development between Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform and South Korea's Personnel Management Minister. Then the fifth will be an MOU on maritime security cooperation between Sea Security and the Korean Coast Guard. Then the sixth plan is to have an MOU between the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Ministry of Environment of South Korea. Furthermore, Eddie said that the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding in the field of immigration would make it easier for Indonesian citizens to enter South Korea, one of which is by shortening the time and reducing the price of making visas. It is also possible that a memorandum of understanding will be developed into a visa-free facility for Indonesian citizens visiting South Korea in the future. On the other hand, on the sidelines of his state visit to South Korea, President Jokowi had the opportunity to give a public lecture at Hankook University and meet with a number of South Korean youth and Indonesian youth. Indonesian Ministry of Social Affairs introduced a main program related to rehabilitation and social protection following the earthquake in West Nusa Tenggara. Minister of Social Affairs Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said he was ready to run a social rehabilitation program that focuses on trauma healing. Kartasasmita told reporters on Thursday in the House of Representatives that the Ministry of Social Affairs has now deployed 90 companion LDP or psychosocial support services that have been distributed in 12 points in Lombok and Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara. Not only rehabilitation program, the Ministry of Social Affairs has also prepared social protection programs.
Nah itu mereka
Well, they are implementing healing trauma programs, especially for children affected by the disaster. Then the second program, which was affirmed to the Ministry of Social Affairs, in relation to this, especially for West Nusa Tenggara and the areas affected by the disaster, we provided Family Hope Program, Prosperous Rise and so on, social assistance programs. Minister Agus further explained, in the future, his party is also designed other programs for West Nusa Tenggara and is currently being discussed in the cabinet. The government wants the victims of the disaster to return to their homes with healthy psychology. Currently, 80,000 homes are being prepared by the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing and are targeted to be completed in the next 6 months. Construction related to public and social facilities is targeted for the next 1 year. In the emergency response period, the Ministry of Social Affairs prepares a budget of around 250 billion rupiahs, and there will be additional future. The Indonesian Maritime Coordinating Ministry, in cooperation with the United Nations Development Program (UNDP), held the second senior officials meeting of the archipelagic states and island countries on September 6 to 8. The meeting discussed plastic waste, blue economy development, adaptation to climate change, good governance, disaster management, sustainable fisheries, and economic growth. Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Panjaitan stressed the need for archipelagic and island nations to unite to take concrete steps to overcome environmental problems. Indeed, we need mutual acts to form togetherness in overcoming environmental problems. Especially, for example, if we look at the current marine waste problem, the plastic problem is our direction, and we want in this forum for us to find a step together to overcome this problem. Meanwhile, UNDP's Country Director for Indonesia, Christophe Bahuet, said this initiative facilitated the exchange of experiences of archipelagic and island nations with new technologies and found new funding to overcome existing threats and challenges. According to him, this is a commitment of Indonesia, UNDP, and other parties to achieve the goal of Sustainable Development Number 14 related to life in the sea. This meeting invited 46 archipelagic countries and island countries in Asia and Africa. Countries invited include Singapore, Palau, Mauritius, Saint Kitts and Nevis, and also New Zealand. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi received the first official visit of Congolese Foreign Minister Ulang. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi received the first official visit of Congolese Foreign Minister Leonard Sche Okitundu Lundula at Gedung Pancasila, Jakarta on Thursday. Marsudi noted in a joint statement that it was the first visit of high-ranking official of Democratic Republic of Democratic Republic of Congo to Indonesia since the opening of diplomatic relations between the two countries in 1963. The visit is special, taking in account that Africa is his. The visit is special, taking in account that Africa is among the priorities of Indonesia's foreign policy. In April this year, Indonesia had hosted the Indonesia-Africa Forum with positive results. The forum will be followed up by the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue in 2019, which is expected to foster concrete economic cooperation between Indonesia and African countries, including Democratic Republic of Congo. During his stay in Indonesia, Minister Lundula also holds meeting with the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry and several state-owned enterprises. Lundula noted Congo has huge potential to be Indonesia's land of investment. In addition to the aforementioned fields of cooperation, Democratic Republic of Congo is interested in utilizing the opportunity to work along with Indonesia in textile and palm oil industries. The country has lent support to Indonesia to become a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council, a spirit of solidarity that is highly lauded by Indonesia. Nah, ini berita nomor 6-nya di jam 8 ini sama dengan berita nomor 5 di jam 5 ya. Berita nomor 5 di jam 5. Jadi saya tidak baca lagi, diambil yang dari jam 5. Lanjut ke berita jam 7 di jam 8. Itu sama dengan berita nomor 6 di jam 5. Jadi tidak saya baca lagi, oke? Okay? Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi will attend Bali Democracy Forum, BDF Berlin Chapter on September 14, a second event held outside the Asia-Pacific region after BDF Tunis Chapter of 2017. The forum, which is jointly hosted by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry and German Federal Foreign Office, and co-sponsored by the Frederick Ebert Stiftung, will raise the issues of democracy and migration. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir told journalists in a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, the purpose of the BDF Chapter Berlin is to exchange experiences on migration issues and different implementation of democracy in Asia and Europe. According to Nasir, Indonesia, which has been conducting BDF since 2008 as an open and inclusive annual intergovernmental ministerial-level forum to expand and consolidate democracy in the Asia-Pacific region, is considered capable of discussing those two issues because it has quite good experience not only in strengthening democracy but also in handling migration. Migration has remained an important matter in Germany and across Europe, with the number of Syrian refugees continuing to rise, particularly after German Chancellor Angela Merkel announced her open-door policy in 2015. The following year, more than 1 million refugees reportedly entered Germany, mostly through Bavaria. As an effort to address this issue, the UN General Assembly will conduct an intergovernmental summit in Marrakesh in December 2018 with a view to adopt the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly and Regular Migration. Indonesia continued to make effort to prepare its tourist destinations for the arrivals of thousands of delegates to the International Monetary Fund World Bank meeting scheduled in Bali from October 8 to 14. National Committee Chairman Luhut Panjaitan said on Thursday that preparations continued to be made, including rehabilitating areas in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara province, which had been affected by the recent quakes. Panjaitan, who is also the coordinating minister for maritime affairs, called on all parties to have in their preparatory efforts to organize the biggest meeting of finance ministers and central bank governors from across the world. He remarked that he was grateful that calls for the government to declare earthquakes in Lombok as a national disaster had not been adhered to by the government. He said if the government had declared the earthquakes as a national disaster, other countries would produce travel warnings for their citizens who wish to visit Indonesia, and the tourism sector and the scheduled IMF World Bank meeting could have been affected. Panjaitan explained that the government was convinced that the IMF World Bank meeting in Bali would proceed as scheduled in view of the results of study made by the meteorology, climatology and geophysics agency. He stated that the locations of the meeting would be safe even if there would be another earthquake in Lombok. Indonesia has deported 40 Bangladeshis for violating regulations on immigration after previously they were detained in Pekanbaru, Riau. Head of the Immigration Division at the Legal and Human Rights Office in Riau, Mas Agung Santoso, said on Thursday that there are 40 people and the deportation process was made in two stages. They were transferred to the Immigration Directorate General in Jakarta first and then deported to their country of origin. 20 Bangladeshi detainees were transferred to Jakarta earlier on Thursday, and the remaining detainees were transferred to the capital city on Thursday aboard a Garuda Indonesia flight. Santoso also said that the costs for the deportation would be covered by the origin country's representatives in Indonesia. The 40 deportees would be barred from entering Indonesia at least for the next 6 months. Head of the Pekanbaru Detention Center, Junior M. Sigalinging, noted that the 31 deportees were arrested by the Indonesian Navy-based personnel in Dumai for trying to enter Malaysia illegally through Riau waters. They were allegedly victims of human trafficking syndicate. 9 others were arrested by the immigration officers in Pekanbaru. He also noted that they entered Indonesia legally, but they violated the immigration law during their stay in the country. Well, listener, that was the news.
สวัสดีค่ะ My name is Veeraj Sakhon Pan I'm director of Radio Thailand World Service Happy 73rd anniversary of Radio Republic of Indonesia May our two cooperation on radio will last forever
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is European Union and Iranian Post-US Libyan Nuclear Agreement. European Union and Iranian relations after United States left the joint nuclear agreement don't appear to be getting closer. Early after United States President Donald Trump decided not to continue the nuclear agreement with Iran, the European Union sought to be unable to be consistent with the previous stance. One of the European Union member countries that started to stay away from Iran is France. The internal order the French government asked its foreign ministry, diplomats and officials to postpone indefinitely all unimportant trips to Iran. The plan of the bomb attack on protests by Iranian opposition groups near Paris and a change in Tehran's attitude are the causes of a change in France's stance towards Iran. France is one of the countries supporting Iran's nuclear agreement in 2015. With other European countries, it tried to help Iran ease the impact of US sanctions. Iran's economy, which has improved, is now hit by the imposition of US sanctions. After no longer receiving support from European Union, Iran is also ready to issue a statement to be no longer committed to the nuclear agreement. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei stressed Iran's ready to abandon the agreement. Even Iran does not hesitate to end the agreement if it is no longer in line with the country's interest. According to Khamenei, Iran should not depend on Europe despite promises from Europe. In addition to outside pressure, President Mohammad Khatami is also facing a crisis because Iranian parliament has sacked the Minister of Labor and Finance. There are still two ministers who will face the same fate. The world witnessed a way out when the United States and Europe signed a nuclear joint agreement with Iran. But now the hope of solving this problem is getting further away. If left unchecked, problems in the Middle East region will be increasingly complicated. Of course, this is not expected to occur. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, this is RRI World Service with Today in History, regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on September 7, 1901, about Boxer Rebellion. The Boxer Rebellion was a revolt in China from November 1899 to September 7, 1901, against foreign power in the trade, politics, religious, and technology sectors. Boxer began his action as an anti-foreign, anti-imperialist movement and was a peasant-based movement in North China. They attacked foreigners who built railroads and violate feng shui, and also Christians who are considered responsible for foreign dominations in China. In June 1900, before attack Beijing and killed 230 non-Zionists, many Christian Chinese Catholics were killed in Shandong and Shanxi provinces as part of the rebellion. The Boxer Protocol ended the rebellion on September 7, 1901 and imposed severe sanctions on the Qing dynasty, such as compensation of 450 million taels of silver. The government was no longer trusted and there was a large increase in taxes, which led to the Qing dynasty getting weaker and finally dropped through a revolution in 1911. We turn to the next event on September 7, 1940, Abdurrahman Wahid was born. Abdurrahman Wahid, or commonly called Gus Dur, was born in Jombang, East Java on September 7, 1940. He is an Indonesian Muslim leader and political leader who became the fourth president of Indonesia from 1999 to 2001. He replaced President B.J. Habibie after being elected by the People's Consultative Assembly from the 1999 election result. The administration of his administration was assisted by the National Unity Cabinet. Abdurrahman Wahid's presidency began on October 20, 1999 and ended at the MPR special session in 2001. He replaced by Megawati Sukarnoputri after his mandate was revoked by the MPR. Abdurrahman Wahid is the former chairman of the Tanfidiyah, or executive body of the Nahdlatul Ulama, and founder of the National Awakening Party, PKB. Now we end with the next event on September 7, 2004, the case of Munir. An Indonesian human rights activist died of arsenic poisoning on a Garuda Indonesia flight on the road of Jakarta-Amsterdam. Munir Said Talib Al-Katiri was born in Malang, East Java on December 8, 1964. He died in Jakarta on a plane heading to Amsterdam on September 7, 2004 at the age of 39. His last position was executive director of the Indonesian Human Rights Monitoring Agency in Imparsial. When he was serving as the Contrast Council, his name soared as a fighter for several activists who disappeared during that time. Munir's body was buried in Batu Public Cemetery, Malang, East Java. Munir's wife, Suciwati, along with other human rights activists, continued to demand that the government disclose this murder case. That was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to the segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about rupiah depreciation caused by the external factor. The rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar continued to decline, almost touching 15,000 rupiah per US dollar. President Joko Widodo, on the sidelines of the inauguration of the export of 1 million units of Toyota products at Tanjung Priok Port, North Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the weakening of the rupiah exchange rate that occurred at this time was inseparable for external factors. Starting from the increase of U.S. interest rates, the American and Chinese trade wars, and the economic crisis that occurred in Turkey and Argentina. President Joko Widodo said that the weakening of this currency did not only occur in Indonesia, but also in various other countries.
Kita semuanya ya tahu bahwa tidak hanya negara kita Indonesia yang terkena apa.
We know that not only Indonesia is affected by exchange rate depreciation. This is external factor, both related to the rising interest rates in the U.S., trade wars of U.S. and Chinese, and crisis in Turkey and Argentina. I think most importantly, we have to be vigilant and careful. I will continue to coordinate in the fiscal, monetary, industry, business sectors, and I think this strong coordination is the main key. The key is twofold. Investment must increase and export also must increase, so we can resolve the current account deficit. President Joko Widodo moreover said that the government must be vigilant and cautious about the economic impact of other countries. In addition, the president also said that the government would continue to coordinate in the fiscal, monetary, industrial, and business sectors. He conveyed the main key to overcoming the current economic conditions, namely by increasing investment, increasing export volume, and reducing import. For the reduction of import, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati has issued a Minister of Finance regulation on the increase in income tax, or PPH Article 22, related to import. This effort is in order to boost the balance of payments deficit, which is one of the causes of the drop of rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar. Sri Mulyani announced the new regulation in Jakarta on Wednesday, accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution, Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto, and Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita. Within the policy, 1,147 tariff posts impacted to the import tariff adjustment. The government decision was taken due to the import value was too high compared to 2017. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. The government of Indonesia needs to increase subsidies for the farmers in the country as a way to revive the spirit of farming, especially among young people in rural areas. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, will make a state visit to South Korea on September 10 to 11. Indonesian Ministry of Social Affairs introduced a main program related to rehabilitation and social protection following the earthquake in West Nusa Tenggara. The Indonesian Maritime Coordinating Ministry, in cooperation with United Nations Development Program, UNDP, held the second senior official meeting of the archipelagic states and island countries on September 6 to 8. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi received the first official visit of Congolese Foreign Minister Leonard Sheikh Okitundu Lundula at Gedung Pancasila, Jakarta on Thursday. Marsudi noted in a joint statement that it was the first visit of high-ranking official of Democratic Republic of Congo to Indonesia since the opening of diplomatic relations between the two countries in 1963. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi will attend Bali Democracy Forum Berlin Chapter on September 14 a second event held outside the Asia-Pacific region after BDF Tunis chapter of 2017. Indonesia continued to make efforts to prepare its tourist destinations for the arrivals of thousands of delegates to the International Monetary Fund IMF World Bank meeting scheduled in Bali from October 8 to 14. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Hi, listeners of Radio Republik Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Johanna Bismarck-Skoog, Ambassador of Sweden to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 73rd anniversary to Radio Republik Indonesia. And may this coming year bring more peace and prosperity to all of you, wherever you are. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we will bring you a topic about Tebe dance. Stay tuned. Listener, on August the 23rd, the 2018 Cross-Border Malacca Festival was held in Malacca Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. The 2018 Cross-Border Malacca Festival is an annual event conducted by the Malacca Regency Tourism Department in collaboration with the Tourism Ministry, implemented through music concert as well as arts and cultural performances. The festival began at 4 p.m. Central Indonesia time. It was started by a traditional dance performance from Malacca, namely Likurai dance, performed by dozens of teenagers from Fajar Timur Kobalima dance group. After watching Likurai dance, spectators were presented with Tebe dance performed by 28 teenagers in couples. Today's Indonesian Wonder will present you the topic of Tebe dance. Listener, Tebe dance is a traditional dance from Belu Regency, Timor Island, East Nusa Tenggara. The dance expresses joy of success or victory represented through the movements of female and male dancers in couples while holding hands as well as reciting songs and poems, namely Kananuk, presenting praises, criticisms, and hopes. They also tap their feet according to the rhythm of the music. Usually, the female dancers form an outer circle and the male dancers will form inner circle. However, it is not an absolute thing. As spectators pack the show, the dancers become more energized to tap their feet and hope. Listener, the dance involving many people used to be performed at night as an expression of gratitude for certain accomplishments. For example, harvesting crops, getting married, or others. However, in the course of time, Taibei dance can be performed anywhere, especially at noon, in a bid to welcome guests and entertain people. When the dance finishes, all dancers will sit together on a huge mat to enjoy cuisine served as the signature of farewell. Taibei dance can be performed by anyone without considering age, degree, and ranks. The dance can be performed by all society, from children, teenagers, adults, elderly, poor, to rich people. They will gather and hold hands while forming a circle without viewing their status. When performing the dance, we can see cheerful expressions of people with smile on their faces. Therefore, the dance is only performed to celebrate happiness and not to be performed at mourning event, as the philosophy of Taibei dance itself is the expression of joy. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener Voice of Indonesia. It's nice to meet you again in our daily program, Miscellany. Today, I will present a topic entitled Momo, a basket of Asian Para Games 2018. Stay tuned. Listener, after successfully holding the Asian Games 2018, Indonesia is preparing to hold the Asian Para Games in Jakarta on October 6 to 13. Just like the Asian Games 2018, the Asian Para Games 2018 also has its own mascot. The Asian community has become acquainted with the three Asian Games 2018 mascot, namely Bin Bin, the Bird of Paradise, Atung, the Bawean Deer, and Kaka, the one-horned rhinoceros. These three mascots have successfully attracted the hearts of the Asian Games people and guests so that their trinkets were sold out. In Asian Para Games, there is only one mascot, namely Momo. Momo is a bald eagle. The name Momo itself stands for motivation and mobility, which means that people must continue to advance and adapt easily to the times. Bald Eagle is chosen because it was the mascot of Jakarta, where the Asian Games 2018 was held. Bald Eagle is known as a strong and brave bird. What is unique and interesting from Momo is that the Asian Para Games is held in Jakarta. It wears a traditional Jakarta clothing belt. Someone who uses this belt is considered a hero in society. Listener, the Asian Para Games 2018 will be opened by President Joko Widodo on October 6, 2018 at the Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium, Jakarta. Chairperson of Indonesian Asian Para Games 2018 Organizing Committee, Inap Gok, Raja Sabta Oktohari said, "The opening of Asian Para Games 2018 is expected as exciting as the Asian Games 2018. Asian Para Games 2018 will contest 18 sports: archery, running, badminton, goalball, chess, cycling, judo, shooting, swimming, table tennis, fencing, volleyball, and basketball. The Asian Para Games will be participated by 41 National Olympic Games with a total of 2,800 athletes, 1,800 officials, and covered by 500 media, both at home and abroad. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic Momo, the mascot of Asian Para Games 2018. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from South Sulawesi. The first song we will present, Indo Longo, to be sung by Angel Puff. The song in Buginese language tells about someone who misses her lover. The feeling of the missing and memory along with her lover is as big as and as high as mountain. Listeners, let's listen to Indo Longo sung by Angel Puff.
Negasi zaman dari on rowing.
That was Indolongo sung by Angel Puff. Listeners, for the next song, we will present Ati Raja sung by Emilia Suratman. The song is Folk One from South Sulawesi, which was spread out by Chinese musician, namely Ho Eng Ji. The song is also full of religious message because its lyric always mentions that the God is the only one place to wish and ask. In addition, although human beings have many desires, only the God knows the best for us. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Ati Raja by Emilia Suratman. listeners, you have just listened to the second song entitled Ati Raja by Emilia Suratman. Thus, you will hear song with the theme Love on Sulawesi Island. Its title is Sulawesi Parasanganta by Udin Leaders. The song has important message for people who live on Sulawesi Island, including in South Sulawesi Province. Its lyric reminds that Sulawesi is people's responsibility, so fellow Sulawesi people should remind each other in order hometown can be peaceful. Listeners, let's listen to Sulawesi Parasanganta sung by Udin Leaders.
Ah,
Listeners, the last song of South Sulawesi is Pantai Losari, which is sung and created by Anci Larici. The song tells about enjoying visit tourism destination in Makassar, South Sulawesi, namely Losari Beach. According to the song, Losari Beach has fresh air, many typical foods which are worth being tasted, and cafes where young people get together until midnight. Hopefully, you will be interested in visiting the beach or other destination in South Sulawesi. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to Pantai Losari, sung by Anci Larici. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.